Praise God that His mercy is more, that it's stronger than the darkness, that it's new every morn and this morn as well. And even as the psalm that we read, that the evil shall perish, but it's only by the grace of the Lord Jesus, by the mercy, that we can be counted righteous because of Jesus. So it's good to sing together. Singing is a gift that the Lord has given His people, both in our everyday life, but also in the life of the church, and particularly on Sunday mornings, and that's what we're going to consider this morning. So we're going to give a brief overview of what is singing, and then we'll talk about how to, I'm going to steal James Nelson's three P's, but prepare, participate, and then proceed in singing, and then we'll, if we have time, end in song, which we may not, but we'll see. So just a brief overview of singing in the life of the church. Well, I think it's important to just clarify, worship is not merely singing, though singing is a form of worship. When we hear the word of God in faith, we're worshiping. When we take in the Lord's Supper together, it's an act of worship. Worship is simply giving God the glory and praise that is due His name. Singing, though, is an important part of worship for the believer and in the life of the church. And throughout Scripture, God has given song to His people, both as a gift to us and as a command. Singing is talked about over 250 times throughout Scripture. So just distinguishing worship, all of life, all the ways that we can worship the Lord, singing is one element, and I think it's a significant part of the life of a Christian, and it's a gift, and we'll talk about why it's a gift throughout this class. So to start, let's consider what is singing. So what is singing? This is a definition I came up with. Christus has a much longer and better one, and if you want that definition, listen to, I think it's class 68 in Foundations, where he talks much more in depth about the theology of singing. It's a wonderful class. I read the manuscript this week. But simply put, I think singing is a whole self, faith-filled form of worship in response to what God has done and who He is. It's a whole self, faith-filled form of worship in response to what God has done and who He is. Let's just break down that definition to help us understand kind of the breadth and depth of what singing is. So whole self, God has made us mind, soul, and body. And He commands us to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and strength. And singing, when you think about it, is one of the few opportunities we have to respond to God with really every aspect of how God has created us, because it brings all of these together in a unique way in which we can worship Him. We sing with our heart, all the emotions that He's given us, where we find ourselves today in lament, in joy, in grief or sorrow, or happiness in Christ. We bring all of our emotions before the Lord, and we can praise Him through it. We can praise Him in lament in song. We can praise Him with joy in song. So we sing with all of our heart, and it's a way in which we can express the highs and lows of our emotions in an authentic way before God. We sing with our mind. We're not merely singing out of rote memory or repetition, but we're actually thinking about the truths of God's word and letting them sink down into our heart. So it's not when we're up there and we know the song, it's easy to just go through the motions and just repeat after the music leader. But we should be thinking about the words that we're singing, what it says about God, what it says about His promises, and then let them sink down into our heart. We sing with our soul. We're empowered by the Spirit of God to magnify the Son of God to the glory of God the Father. And then we sing with our strength. Whether we're feeling tired this morning, or we're sick, or we're healthy, we use the strength that God has given us to sing praise to His name. So I think singing is a uniquely whole self form of worship in that it combines our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength in a way that we can then worship the Lord. Next, faith-filled. We sing in faith, trusting that God's word is true, that His promises will come to pass, and no matter the season we find ourselves in. I think singing is, you know, this morning, all of us are going to be in different places. Some are going to be struggling with doubt. Some are going to be struggling with anxiety. Some are going to be in a really good season where they're just experiencing the Lord's blessing. But regardless of where we find ourselves, we're all singing in faith, trusting that God's word is true, that his promises are things that we can grasp on and cling to no matter the season that we find ourselves in. And then lastly, it's in response to what God has done and who he is. So I'm going to read Exodus 14, 30 through 15, 3. If you want to turn there, Exodus 14, verses 30 through 15, 3. All right, Exodus 14, 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. So this is actually the first time in Scripture where we see singing. We see God's people singing. So why is it here that we see that God's people respond in song? It's because God has delivered them from Egypt. He's delivered them from the Egyptians. They are singing in response to how God has provided salvation on their behalf, And in saving them and providing salvation for his people, it's revealing who he is, that he is a God of salvation, that he is a God of justice, that he is a God of mercy, that he's a God of grace. So their singing is in response to their redemption. And really, when you think about it, this is singing for all of God's people. We sing in response to God's grace towards us in Christ. So we're able to celebrate what he's done to take a people who were his enemies and make them his own forgiven people, adopted and secure in the love of the Lord Jesus. And as we're singing about his salvation and about his great works, even as we read in Psalm 92, it's revealing who God is and the depths of his character, the depths of his great and abounding love for us. So singing is a whole self, faith-filled form of worship in response to what God has done and who he is. Let's look at real briefly why singing is a key part of the Christian life and in the life of the church. Let's turn to Colossians 3. 16 through 17. So Colossians 3, 16 through 17. And Nathan, I'm going to have you read Colossians 3, 16 through 17. Thanks, brother. Any observations on what this passage teaches us about singing in the life of the church? What are some observations? Lyle.
It is an outworking of the word of Christ dwelling in you.
Yeah, so it's an outworking or an overflow of the word of God. Yeah, working and dwelling in us. Yep, that's great. Which really helps us understand that the word and singing or musical worship go together. So it's an overflow or it's an outpouring, as you said it. Dan?
It's also an expression of thankfulness and gratitude.
Okay, yep. Singing is an expression of thankfulness or gratitude to what God has done. Yep. What else? Jake?
It's a form of teaching and admonishing to one another through song.
Yep. Which is, I mean, every time I read this, it's striking. That singing is a form of teaching. It's a form of admonish. It's one way in which we can teach and admonish one another through song. You wouldn't, you, I don't think naturally I think that way, but actually singing is a form of teaching. It's a way that God has actually commanded us, one another, to do this to one another. Micah, were you going to say something? Yeah, yeah, this is one of the 50 or so one another commands. And so we see here in this this text that, yeah, worship or singing is an outpouring, or it's an overflow of God's word dwelling in us. It's a way in which we, and he intends for us to teach and encourage and admonish one another. It's fundamentally a way that we express our thankfulness to God together. And so as we think about the word dwelling in us, I think this implies that our songs must be word-centered and word-saturated. So we're not just singing random things about what we think or who we think God is. We're actually singing in response to what God has revealed in his word. So our songs are to be word-centered. Sometimes this is actually just going to be singing word for word what he's given us, or it's going to be taking the truths that God has revealed to us and putting them together in different ways, but all with in respect to giving God glory. That's why we even see singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So it actually shows the breadth of the types of songs flowing from the word dwelling in us. How does singing to one another help teach and admonish one another? How does that actually happen? James?
We didn't try to teach them those songs. They just remember them because they were songs. So I think doing it in a way that people actually put it to heart and remember it.
Yeah. No, I think God has wired us to actually just memorize and understand and remember things through song. And so it's a great way for us to easily recall and treasure the truths of God's word in our hearts. Were you going to say something? You're just singing songs about, yeah, that's great.
You teach it to the youngest.
Yep. Yep.
I think also when a brother or sister in the congregation is in a situation where it's very difficult to trust the Lord, that person has an opportunity to minister to the rest of the congregation by singing anyway, by trusting the Lord and singing the truths in song. And the rest of the congregation has an opportunity to minister to that person when they recite the truths of God's promises and God's character by singing to him and praising him. It's a way that the congregation together helps each other through every circumstance to see God really is who he says he is.
Yeah.
And Christ really is true. And in every circumstance, it's worth trusting him this way.
Well said. I couldn't have said it better. And I mean, I can think of countless times where I'm coming in on a Sunday morning feeling particularly stressed or anxious about something, and I don't necessarily want to sing. Like, I'm struggling to trust the Lord. And then when I step back, we usually sit in the back, which is great because then I see everybody and I see people singing and I see people trusting the Lord. And just the voice of the congregation singing the promises of God, actually, I can feel my soul be uplifted. I can feel my gaze shift from myself to shift to the Lord Jesus. And so, yeah, singing strengthens one another, and it helps us see Jesus more clearly. Any examples of or songs that the Lord has used particularly to encourage you on a Sunday morning? Songs or just times in your life where God has used that?
I surrender all.
I surrender all. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Laura?
Our family was going through some really terrible things years ago, and I started to believe that God wasn't good and that I might be losing my faith. And it was the song, He Will Hold Me Fast, that helped me. I realized that I wasn't going to lose any kind of faith until God let go of me. Which he wasn't doing, of course. And so I was just really comfortable
Yeah.
And it helps me get me through.
Yeah. Hmm. Praise the Lord. Thanks for sharing. David?
Yeah, my father-in-law's the funeral was set sort of that day as well.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think particularly in times of sorrow, in times of grief or struggle, I think God gives song to his people in a way that can actually put words to what we need to be saying, what we need to be, how we need to be trusting the Lord. Because oftentimes it's, you know, I just find like a mental block depending on, you know, the situation I find myself in. But song can actually help us put words to the longings and groanings for the day when the Lord Jesus will return and make all things new and put our souls fully at rest. So that's good. Yeah, I'll just, I mean, Chris is in the back, but I've been super encouraged over the last 7.5 years just being at Delray, seeing the intentionality by which Chris plans music on a Sunday morning, because it is so word-centered, so word-saturated. It flows with the overall kind of arc of the text that we're reading, and that's not easy to do, and that takes intentionality, and so I think it's easy for us to just not recognize the work that goes in. But because of that, like, our souls can be strengthened all the more. And so thanks to you, brother, for the work that you do every week in that. Well, God has given us the gift of singing to be a regular and critical part of our life together as his church. And so now we're going to spend some time thinking about how to prepare for singing on a Sunday, how to participate, and then how to leave and keep singing, if you will, on a Sunday. So prepare. I'll just say a few things and then we'll open it up for other thoughts that you have. I think one of the best ways we can prepare is just to be a singing home. Whether you live alone or whether you live with a bunch of people who are your family or roommates, it doesn't matter. Sing daily in your home. Like, sing the songs that we sing as a church. Not only will it strengthen you spiritually in that moment, but it actually helps prepare our hearts to sing together on a Sunday. The better you know a song, oftentimes the way in which that the truths of that song can sink in. And so on a Sunday morning, we're not necessarily like learning and just trying to keep up with the music, but we're actually able to think about the words that we're singing and praise the Lord in response to that. That QR code on your page is the link to this Sunday's upcoming set list. And so that'll take you to the DRBC homepage where you can download on Spotify or Apple Music. And so, yeah, as a household, read the lyrics of the songs that we're about to sing, listen to them, and sing them throughout the week. And so take advantage of that. Like, this, we know what we're going to be singing, and so be singing those songs throughout the week. I also think pray for the music leaders. Pray that God would help prepare them, that he would, yeah, bless their preparation and the rehearsals, and that he would use them to. I think the best music leaders are the most undistracting music leaders. And as a music leader, there are so many distractions in my heart all the time. So pray for that we would be undistracting and serving the Lord faithfully in that way. An example of this, some of you guys know the Davis family, Brian and Sonia Davis. They were just a singing family. Like, I think, when I think of singing, I think of the Davises. Like, if you ever went into their home, you would not leave unless you've sung a few songs together. And it was always just joy-filled singing, authentic singing. And so I remember we visited them in Minneapolis, and on their way out, like, the whole family were like, all right, get together, and they, like, sang us a benediction on our way out. It was, but you could just tell, like, this is what was feeding their soul day in and day out. Like, they were just singing together as a family. Now, they also have beautiful voices, and it sounded amazing. But they are a singing people, and so they're constantly preparing their hearts for Sunday by singing, by being a singing family. And so most of us are not good singers, and that's okay, but we should be a singing people. We should be preparing our hearts for Sunday by singing each day throughout. Whether you're in the car on the way to work, whether you're at school, whatever it is, sing in preparation. Any other thoughts about preparing to sing? Josh? Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's great. Yep, listening to them on the way. It's great. I think I mentioned this, but just to hit home on it, I think taking time to read through the lyrics of songs and not sing them is actually really helpful as well. Just to, like, read line by line and think about, what is this saying about God? How should I respond in praise to him? With this, because, yeah, taking the time to do that actually warms our heart in a way that when we sing it, yeah, it's activating, again, our mind and our hearts in a different way. Lyle, were you going to say something?
This is a question. Is there a... So one thing I've often thought about is how the hymnal historically often was, you know, it's just this one resource if everybody has a copy of the hymnal in their home. And one thing that I think is a little bit harder... mixed blessing. We have a lot of great new songs that have come into the rotation, but they're not all in one place. Like, we just have a hymnal. We don't, at least in our home. Do you have a favorite songbook or two that have like a lot of the songs, like the newer songs that kind of are in our rotations coming through?
Yeah, great question. We have one. I can't remember. I think it's like the, what's the one Boswell just, or and Matt Papa just came out with, Dish? What is it?
Hymns of Grace.
Hymns of Grace. Yeah. Hymns of Grace is a great one. It has a lot of the ones we sing. It definitely does not have all of them, but I think to Josh's point, we do have a digital library of all the ones, which is not the same, but it is at least a starting point. So, and buy like 10 of those Hymns of Grace and have them so that when folks come over for dinner and are just in your home, you could sing together, and you can all have a copy of that to do that with one another. All right, let's think about participating. So what does it look like to participate in song together on a Sunday morning? And this is by no means an exhaustive list, but as I was thinking and meditating on it this week, I thought these were some helpful categories to help us begin to think through it. And I'll just start by sharing a quote from Bob Coughlin, who's he's been a music leader for a long time. He said, "If singing is meant to express our unity in Christ, that means every voice matters." So on a Sunday morning, one of the ways we can show the world, show one another our unity in Christ and how he has taken a disparate people and made them one is by all singing together. And so I just think about that as we go through, but we'll go through category by category. So first, I think participating means we're wholeheartedly participating. So the Lord is glorious and he's worthy of our praise. I think wholehearted singing is responding to God's word and his work of redemption in your life with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This doesn't mean you're the loudest on a Sunday morning necessarily, but it does mean you should sing loudly. It doesn't mean that if you have the worst voice or the best voice, it's simply your voice that God delights in hearing praise his name. And your voice is needed in the congregation. Your voice is needed to one, praise him, but two, to resemble that unity that we have together. And our voices are the main instrument on Sunday. It's not the actual instruments that are the main sound. The music team playing instruments is there to aid the congregation to sing as one unified voice to the glory of God. So the music team is up there to help us in singing. And it's always my favorite part, like the last verse or last, you know, portion of a verse where the instruments typically cut out and you just hear the congregation singing. And it's taking good voices, bad voices, and it comes together. And it is really, it is beautiful. And it's beautiful to hear that and to just see God's work of redemption and taking lost people and making them his own. So I think, lastly, wholehearted singing is singing that is primarily concerned with praising God and helping your brother or sister do the same. It's unconcerned with man's opinion of how you sound or how you look on a Sunday morning, which it's hard. Like, it's hard for me as a musician. Like, I would assume all of us struggle with the fear of man in singing with one another on a Sunday morning. But wholehearted singing is primarily concerned with praising God for his unmatched glory and helping our brother or sister in the ways that we talked about, helping the burdened and heavy laden brother or sister by singing and helping them hear God's truth proclaimed. Any thoughts on wholehearted singing? Okay, I think also authentic, so we can authentically participate in singing. So singing faithfully on a Sunday doesn't necessarily mean you sing the same or sing every song in the same way or in the same way of how others are doing it. You may want to occasionally pause during a verse and pray in response to something God has revealed to you or something he's just shown you. You may be in a season of lament and not emotionally happy at the moment, but you still muster up the faith to sing to the Lord in faith, asking for his help to deliver you in that situation. You may be particularly happy in the Lord that day and feel the desire to clap louder and sing, and if you want to dance, you should dance. If you want to raise your hand, like, respond to the Lord authentically. I mean, David, I think, is a great example of what authentic worship or authentic singing looked like. You may be struggling with doubt or anxiety and may have to fight to keep singing each song of the line because it's hard to trust the words. I think it's good to just remember that the Lord knows our heart and he desires us to not hide anything from him. And so one of the ways that we can sing authentically to praise him is by coming to him as we are. Jesus, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think that posture can be similar, or should be similar in, when we sing on a Sunday morning. And so let's not hide things from the Lord. He knows what we're thinking before we even know what we're thinking. And so he's praised when we come to him with I think humble authenticity. Thoughts, questions?
Mm-hmm. Is it your kind of recommendation as an elder that, just make yourself sing because it's going to be so good for your soul? Is it better to listen to the saints around you sing? Is it better to stop and pray? Probably depends on the circumstances, but can you speak to that?
Yeah, I think probably both and it probably depends on the situation. I think if you come in particularly weary, you may take the first song to just listen and say, God, would you stir up my heart to want to worship you right now? And then the next song, you sing it, and you sing it in faith, really struggling to believe it. And I think as you do that, as you honestly come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to worship you right now, but I am really struggling to do so. Help me do so in a way that's actually worthy of who you are. He will be honored in that, and I think he will help us even over the course of the service. And it's not going to be the same every time, but I do think oftentimes in my life, from beginning to the end, there's a big difference in where my gaze is, the peace of my heart at that moment, and whatever I'm particularly struggling with that day.
Mm-hmm. How do you encourage like parents with their kids singing? Do you require them to sing, or?
Yeah, it's a great question. How should we think about our kids participating? Well, every kid's going to be different, and oftentimes we don't, depending on what the age is, we don't know where they're at with the Lord. I'd say if they can sing, they should start singing, because I think it's helping memorize truths about who God is and sinking it deep in their hearts that the Lord will use to bear fruit in one way or the other later on. I don't think I wouldn't say it has to be like, if every 5 seconds you get, Jones, keep singing, then it's actually taking away from you singing. So I think it's having conversations with, the kids pre-service and post-service about, hey, this is why we sing. This is why I want you to sing. And then I think asking God for wisdom to navigate with different kiddos' postures and where they're at with the Lord. But Josh, you probably have a wiser comment on that. You have older kids, so... That's good.
We don't do that these days. We talk about things with the people older, but when they were younger, that was the thing. You would ask, I think that the hope was honestly that you were going to ask about that, and that means the songs are probably important. You guys can listen for that. I don't know. But that's,
yeah.
It was one way we tried.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah, and our just general participation is teaching and training the kids to understand, not only in the song, like the words that we're singing, but also that God has made us a singing people. And the world is not a singing, well, people love music. There's a difference between music and loving music and singing music that is not edifying versus you come on a Sunday morning and hear God's people sing. You hear God's people cling to truths that are not of this world, and I think that our kiddos will pick up on that. Last thing, Tori. Yeah. I love hearing kids sing when they're like shouting it out, and like they do not care how loud they sound or how awful they sound, but they're just singing. It's a sweet, joyful noise to the Lord, which leads us into,
I know you're about to get
all good.
Corporate singing, how yep. It's great, and we should be singing with unity, but back to the original question, kick this off. If you're not feeling it and you need to have that prayer with God, and maybe like, I believe, help my unbelief kind of moment where mm-hmm. you sing is a great thing to do, but a thing not to do is to force yourself to sing just so that you could be going along with the flow, in my opinion. I'm interested in your opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good call out of like, we shouldn't sing to just please those around us. So there's a way in which we could force ourselves to sing solely because I want to make sure Jake thinks highly of me spiritually. But there's a way, the opposite is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Would you strengthen me right now? I don't want to sing, but I'm going to keep singing. I think those are two very different heart postures. And so I think that's, we need the Lord's help in, you know, discerning where our heart is at. But I think that's, we want to approach it this way.
I don't have that problem because my singing never pleases anybody.
That's funny. No, it's a good call out, brother. All right, joyfully. So Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Christians are to be a joyful people. And joy is a fruit produced by the Holy Spirit. It's not... It is an emotion of steadfast confidence and hope in the promises of God, regardless of present circumstances. And when I think about, I think it's important to distinguish between like what is joy versus what is like emotional happiness. Like joy is a constant, steadfast resting on the promises of God that lifts our hearts and our countenance before the Lord, trusting him in whatever difficult circumstance he has us versus... We can be joyful and not necessarily feeling happy, but we should be a joyful people. We should be a joyful people. And a non-Christian should be able to, I think, palpably feel something different in the way that church sings with joy. Like they should feel and see and hear the hope that is unlike any other hope that the world can offer. And I think that's singing is one of our evangelistic tools, if you will, on a Sunday morning. Because it's just not of this world when you see a bunch of very different people coming together to sing truths about who God is and what he's done for his people and singing with joy, especially if they know the different things in life that you're walking through and navigating through. In time's sake, we're going to keep going. Corporately, so take time to look around at one another. When you see someone you know is trusting the Lord amidst pain and singing, I think it can fan into flame like your faith, and it can help strengthen your walk with the Lord. Or when you see someone you look up to in the Lord and you see them continuing to be steadfast in their walk with Christ, it can encourage a zeal and a steadfastness. And Lord, help me be faithful. Help me be faithful over the long term. And so take time to look around at one another and see God's work of grace in their lives and remember that as you're singing. And that's only going to, I think, accentuate the words that we are singing to God and to one another. So sing on a Sunday corporately by taking into account or considering the body, just as we do, you know, with the Lord's Supper. We consider the body when we take the Lord's Supper. I'm going to go through the next two, and then I'll raise it for comments or questions. Also humbly, if you don't like the song or the style of music, still wholeheartedly sing praise to God. That song may be a particular blessing to another saint, and God may be using that uniquely to encourage and strengthen them. And he wants to use you to help him accomplish that purpose in that person. And so, and this is hard. Like, you know, there are songs where I have to be like, all right, Lord, help me sing this joyfully, you know? But I think it's a humble posture before the Lord that knows, as we're singing truths about God, that is good and right. And even if I don't like it as much as another song, to just recognize that the Lord is praised regardless as we're singing about him and from his word, and also that he's doing it probably uniquely to bless another brother or sister in the body. And so approach singing humbly. And then practically, just put your phone off on a Sunday morning or put it away. You know, it's like there are so many distractions. I don't need to tell all of us all the distractions, but like whatever practically you need to do to be focused and to actually wholeheartedly sing, please do that. Because there are endless distractions, and we want to be focused on the Lord and focused on his people. Any other thoughts? Yep.
Point about being humble reminded me of like as my like view of like what worship is and what like singing in church should be like kind of grew over the years. I started to become more proud when I went to other churches to like visit like, family members' church. It became really easy for me to say like, oh, they're singing that song. not enough like Bible substance in this one. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, and then I'm not really even worshiping the Lord, and just like criticizing. But in reality, like, I'm not going to like change a church's like whole culture just by criticizing them on Sunday morning. And I think that point about being humble is like, it's a good reminder that I've got to grow to not only decide what I think the Bible says about worship, but also just be really gracious and patient when other people aren't on like precisely the same page yet.
Yeah.
I should be able to walk into another church, and I'm not gonna like try to sing heresy or anything, or like get behind that. But like if something's just like not my style, or not even like, oh, this isn't at like the level that like my church is doing in terms of being thoughtful about worship, I should still be able to walk in and just be like, I'm grateful for what this is.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful I get to worship the Lord in this congregation.
It's a great, yeah, wonderful point, and I have struggled with that also. Yeah. Thanks for calling that out.
Oftentimes we talk about like pride and humility in terms of like someone who's like being prideful is like thinking about themselves a lot and whatever. But another sort of side of pride can be like thinking of yourself like, oh, like no one likes me, whatever. You're just thinking about yourself too much. And I think I've seen brothers and sisters who were like, oh, my voice is so bad, I just won't sing. And they wouldn't call that being prideful, but there's a sense in which like nobody cares about your voice. I mean, maybe someone does, but that's their problem. Like, I find so much joy, like, hearing brothers and sisters, even the ones who sing totally off-key, I actually really love hearing them sing with joy, and I think that's a humble way to participate, even if you know you have, like, a terrible voice, to go ahead and just belt it out anyway.
Yeah,
and
amen.
Let other people have their own heart issues with that.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, I think we're, to some extent, going to be constantly fighting, like, fear of man in singing, of, like, not worried about but also Laura's point in terms of, the different elements of pride. I think, like, for me, like, judgment sometimes of, like, judging other people's voices or the songs that we're singing, whatever. It's like, we have to guard against that and actually, like, okay, humbly approach the Lord and ask for his help to be focused on what really matters, which is praising him for what he's done and helping one another all the more adore him. So, what hand back there, Anna? Yeah.
Maybe they're not singing, but they're at least consciously looking at the words.
Yeah. So I think it's just another good call out for, it takes intentionality and it takes preparation for like parents to understand, okay, my kids are in different spots. How can I help them engage wholeheartedly in singing on a Sunday morning? And it's going to be different. But that takes, you can't just rush into a Sunday morning. Like, you actually got to think about that and have conversations. So it's good. Josh, was your hand up? And it's a small taste of when the Lord returns and all his people are going to be gathered together and the millions and millions and millions of voices singing one song in praise to the Lord. Like, that's going to be a glorious day and a day of joy beyond that we can imagine. And so today is a small foretaste of that. So it's a good call out. Okay, in time, we do got to wrap things up. Proceed real quickly. Just keep singing the song. Like, let's be a singing people. let's meditate and pray about what we sang as a body that day. And I think Josh's question, like, ask one another how God has used particular songs that week to encourage you. Like, I know for me in the workday, sometimes I'll just like randomly start singing a song, and that's helpful to me to reorient my gaze when I'm like can be distracted with worldly things at work, and it helps kind of reorient. So let's be people that are asking one another and building one another up in that way as well. And so singing is a gift that the Lord has given his people to teach, to admonish, to encourage one another, but ultimately to sing praise to the one who has set us free, who has adopted us and made us new and given us new life in Christ. Let me pray, and then we will go and we will sing together. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of just, yeah, being part of your body, and that you have given us song to put to, yeah, music and words, all the ways that you have been good and kind to your people, how you have saved them, and how you are strengthening them for the day of the Lord Jesus' return. And we pray that he would come soon. And until that day, would you help us be a people who sing humbly and wholeheartedly and with an aim to please you and serve one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.